Have you heard? Sling TV offers the news you love for less.
Hey, wait. You look and sound just like me. I am you. I'm the same news programs on Sling TV for less.
You mean you're me, but for less money.
A lot less. I'm all the favorite news programs and more on Sling TV starting at just $40 a month.
Everything great about me, but for less money?
Which makes me greater, don't you think? Get the news you love and more for less.
Start saving today. Visit sling.com to see your offer. Sling.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. I'm your host, retired NYPD Sergeant Bill Cannon, a 27-year veteran of the NYPD. Guys, I came on today, I was live, and I saw that there was supposed to be a live hearing in regards to Brian Koberger and his case. And of course, we've been hearing a lot of different things of late in regards to Brian Koberger, mostly to do with discovery material. And when the of course, the defense is complaining to the judge that they don't have the discovery material. And for those that aren't familiar with that, discovery material, of course, is evidence that the prosecution has on the defendant. And they are supposed to share that in a timely manner with the defense. And the defense, of course, is complaining that they haven't received much of it at all. So that is supposed to be partially what this hearing is about today. In addition, we've all heard about Brian Koberger's his alibi. And we, the listening audience, people following this case, are not very satisfied with his alibi. If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander, right? If the prosecution has to hand over volumes and troves of discovery material, then shouldn't the defense also have to do the same? And if they come out with an alibi, shouldn't they have an alibi witness? So all of these things are rulings that John Judge, of course, must rule upon. And at this juncture, he hasn't really done that. He hasn't really ruled upon some of these issues. The discovery that is held in a lot of the DNA, and we know that the highly technical DNA that was done by the FBI using Orthrim Labs, a lot of that building a family tree, very, very complicated, newest technology. And as of yet, we haven't seen or heard that either. So everyone is wondering, well, when is this going to happen? When is the FBI going to hand over this evidence? And if you've ever watched hearings, congressional hearings, you've watched congressional subpoenas to the FBI, and the FBI is not very quick to hand over anything, you know. So even a Supreme Court judge, in this case, Judge John Judge, hasn't been able to get them to hand over discovery material. And so how does he rule upon that then? If the FBI says, we're not handing it over, what is he going to do? Indict an entire law enforcement agency? And it seems like the FBI, in many cases, gets away with a lot of this stuff, where probably a local police department would never be able to get away with that. But the FBI, being the premier law enforcement agency in the country, they get away with this, right? They get away with not turning over evidentiary material. So when we think about this case, though, and it, again, it happened on November 13th, 2022, the slaughter of four students in their home near on the outskirts of the University of Idaho. And what about the families? The families are dying to get this trial going. They want justice for their loved ones. And at this point, there is no justice because the case has not proceeded yet. It's not moved forward. So think of these. I think the live feed is coming on now. Let me see if I can get it. I can get it from Law and Crime.
I believe Mr. Logsdon is remote.
And this is the live hearing from
Ms. Mathis,
Utah County. This is Judge John Joe.
Both representing Mr. Koberger. I think I've covered everybody. Ms. Evans is the court reporter. We're here for a motion and a potential witness, I believe, relating to motions to compel discovery, fourth and fifth. That's all I know. Okay, go ahead, Ms. Taylor.
Your Honor, the court is correct. We are here to begin the motions to compel. We have testimony today from Detective Mowry. As the court will recall, he's unavailable on the 30th and 31st, which are the days when we will have the full scope of our motions to compel. So it may feel a little choppy, but we would like to hear from Detective Mowry today and would call him when it's appropriate.
Okay, thank you. Anything preliminary, Mr. Thompson and Ms. Jennings? Okay, great. Detective Mowry, come on up. You face to the clerk, raise your right hand.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you give in this case shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under penalty of perjury?
I do. All right. Thank you, sir. Go ahead and have a seat there. Once you're seated, please state your name and spell your last.
My name is Lawrence Mowry, M-O-W-E-R-Y.
All right. Thank you, sir. Ms. Taylor?
Thank you.
Will you tell us how you're employed?
I'm employed with the Moscow Police Department.
What is your role there?
I am a detective.
How long have you worked for Moscow Police Department?
I've worked for Moscow for over 5 years.
Have you been a detective that entire time?
I have.
And prior to that, did you have law enforcement experience?
I do.
How many years total?
Yeah, I'm 14.
Detective Mowry, did you take part in the investigation into the homicides on King Road?
Yes.
And what was your role?
A lot of different things. How to answer that?
Well, I can ask you about
sort of an open question.
Sure.
Do you do any work with cell phones and cell towers?
I have taken training for cell phone analysis.
Was that one of the roles that you played in this investigation? All right. And the other area that I'd like to talk to you about is the collection of video tape evidence or surveillance evidence from around the community. What was your role in that?
So we gathered a lot of data, a lot of USBs, hard drives that came in. At one point, all of that was given to me so that I could copy it over to a server so that we have it stored in that bill.
Did you inventory it at that time as you got it in, I guess?
No, I have to say inventory. I used the evidence technician to help me book them individually at the time. So the USB had the name of it on it. I would label the folder what it was and that came from it.
Did you have any role in verifying the content of the surveillance? I'm going to have a few questions about that, but I want to talk a little bit more about your role with cell phones and cell towers. So let's start there, okay? What training do you have for that role?
Some time ago, I went through what they say PATC training, which is cellular analysis, and I've also taken classes for the CASCOs.
The cellular analysis, is that particular to the device itself, the cell phone device?
No.
That is particular to towers?
To the towers and the providers themselves.
When did you take that training?
Boy, the CAST, I believe it was in 2019, and then I also did it again last year.
And the CAST that you took in 2019, that was the ENDACAC, is that right?
That was the ENDACAC, right.
And the CAST that you took last year was October of 2023, is that correct?
Yes.
And that was the actual CAST training?
They were both done by actual CAST members. I'm not sure if one was sponsored by the other, but they were both performed by FBI CAST members.
So much of this case is depending on the cell tower hits.
And Your Honor, if I can approach.
Yes, thank you.
So again, this is
Detective Mowry. In front of you, what's labeled as
Police Department.
Defendant's Exhibit O, and those are two certificates for training. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. The one that's from 2019, what did that cover?
That covered the use of the CASCOs software.
And what did the one in 2023 cover?
The second.
Your Honor, I move for admission of Defendant's O.
The objection?
No objection.
Okay. Those are exhibit. Oh, no objection. Thank you.
Detective Mowry, how many total hours do those certificates represent of CAST training?
I apologize. I didn't look. It was a week long. It was actually a couple of days each time. 2 days a piece of
pleasure. Did you need this?
So 2019 shows 24 hours, 2023 says 16 hours.
Thank you, Detective.
Thank you.
I want to find out if he's qualified to do
Detective, one. You've written some reports in this case, is that correct?
Yes.
I want to talk about two particular reports right now. One is from May the 5th of 2023. Do you recall that report, or should I bring a copy of that to you?
If you'll pull that up.
I can definitely do that.
You know, if anyone, you can't have that in your memory, so it's always a good idea to refresh your memory with a copy of the report that you wrote, so you can read it in the court or read it and then say, yes, that refreshed my memory. And that's what the detective's doing right here. The detective's reading the report that he wrote to refresh his memory so he can answer the questions.
We have a jury next door.
A defense attorney.
Okay. So you know, that's all about it.
Detective Mowry, does that appear to be your report from May 5th of 2023?
Yes.
And Your Honor, would move for admission of defendants P?
That's P.
P, like Paul?
All right. Any objection? Okay, thank you. Exhibit P is admitted. No objection.
Thank you, Your Honor. Detective Mowry, I do not have a police report for the other one that I want to talk about today. It's one that I received via email today that was written just within the last few days by you, probably. Do you know what report I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what I want to understand is we're talking about documents or records or logs that can be created by a CASTVIS program. The report that you wrote, that I received today, when did you learn about those documents that exist according to that report?
research logs that I found from yesterday.
Why did you come to find them yesterday?
I was preparing for this hearing.
Okay. And those are things that existed for quite some time, is that correct?
They did.
And when you wrote about your work with CASBiz in May of 2023, did you document those items?
No.
Tell me what you found when you were preparing for the motion to compel today.
I found session logs that were sent to me from the FBI.
All right. And in those session logs, how many files were there?
I don't remember. I think there were 6 or 7 different items inside.
Did you look at the CASBiz 48-hour file?
I don't remember if I did. It was at the reception.
Did you look at it yesterday in preparation for this hearing?
I attempted to.
All right. And how about the CASBiz full log?
I attempted to yesterday.
I noticed in your report that there were several items that you listed. Were those from these CASBiz logs that you attempted to look at yesterday?
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to, you need to speak up a little bit. The clerk is telling me to pick up a little bit.
There were some files that were in the session logs, there were other files that were not.
Well, let's start with the 48-hour. What was contained in there?
There was older 48 hours that was the AT&T records, the original records. And there's a 48-hour session log. I don't know which one there.
Let's go with the session log. What was in there?
Yeah, appeared to be the AT&T records that possibly were inputted, as well as some JSON files that were probably produced by CASBiz.
JSON files were produced by CASBiz. Is that right?
I would assume that. I didn't create those files.
What date were they created?
One was in December. The other was in April.
December of what year?
22.
And April of what year?
23.
Could you tell who created those?
I could not.
How did you get those?
I was provided those via email.
By who?
A new balance of the FBI.
What did you do with those?
I gave them as soon as I realized they were in my possession. I had contacted the prosecutor and gave them.
And that would be just yesterday, is that correct?
Yes.
What did you do with them prior to that time?
They were sent to me. I put them in a folder and I didn't do anything else with them. That's why I forgot them.
Okay. And that was the 48-hour file?
The 48-hour session log, yes.
How about the full file? What was contained in there?
Similar items to the 48.
What is the full file?
I believe that was the second AT&T return that we got via warrant. I wasn't able to open it to verify it.
That brings up a question for clarification. When you say second warrant return, are you talking about something that relates to Brian Koberger?
Yes, there was 2 warrants that were originally written. One that covered a 48-hour period for the cell phone number, and there was one that was later done for a longer period of time.
And those are what you're referring to as the warrants 1 and warrant 2?
Correct.
Okay.
48 and 1 for the longer period.
In the report that I just received today, there was reference to a loped bar file. What's that?
It's a file that I received from Agent Balance.
When did you receive that?
Well, I received the modification date or the email. I honestly don't remember. Unfortunately, it was yesterday and I didn't throw this stuff together. So,
okay. So that was one that you just found yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. Did you open that?
I don't recall opening it. But if I did, I don't recall doing it.
How about the CDRS.xlsx file? Would that, and CDR, what does that stand for?
All detail records.
Did you open that?
I don't remember if I did not.
Did you open it yesterday?
I don't remember. I was looking for it. Once I found them, I was trying to figure out how they came into my possession. That's where I started to focus.
Okay. How about the export.kmz file? When did you find that file?
I found that one yesterday.
Do you know when that came into your possession?
Some time ago.
Did you open that?
I did on my laptop.
What did that show you?
It showed me different locations and so forth on and on.
Those three files that we just talked about, along with the CASFIS 48 and the CASFIS full, are those copied so that I can have those now?
Yes.
And you referred to emails. How many emails did you find when you were preparing for this hearing?
It was five.
Are those included for me to have now as well?
Yes.
Thank you. In the report that I received today, there was a reference to drawings.json file. What's that?
It was a JSON file that was inside the CASFIS session.
What does that depict?
It's just data that CASFIS would use, I'm guessing, to replot something on the map to actually show locations or other things.
Did you do anything with that file when you found it yesterday?
I did open that file, yes.
Okay. What did that show you when you opened it?
There were references to two locations inside.
When you open it, what?
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
For those who embrace the impossible, the Defender 110 is up for the adventure. This iconic vehicle has been redefined with a modern design that lets you go further and do more. The exterior is reimagined with compelling proportions and precise detailing, complemented by an interior built with integrity. The Defender capability is legendary. Whether you're facing off-road challenges or harsh weather conditions, its durability has been tested to the extreme. Powerful innovations like the intuitive driver display and award-winning infotainment system keep you connected. Innovative camera technologies deliver unobstructed views and effortless maneuvering. And robust cargo capacity means more room for your gear. Ready for a wide range of adventures, the Defender family features the two-door Defender 90, the Defender 110, and the Defender 130, which seats up to eight. To drive the Defender is to explore with greater confidence. Push what's possible with a vehicle made to go further. The Defender 110. Learn more at LandRoverUSA.com/Defender.
Does it just say, here's two references, or what does it show you when you open it?
It's different code, but there is some plain language or plain English, plain text inside of that code that show two addresses.
Did you use that file? Well, let me ask this first. That file that contains code, do you use that with the CASFIS program?
I attempted to load the session file is it in its entirety and received errors, so I was not able to. That's why I went into the JSON file to see if there was any kind of Steam reference.
Is that file usable?
I'm sure it is to someone.
What is the restriction for you?
I don't know what restriction it is. I don't know what to do with that file outside of if I could possibly bring it into the cast is, I tried to pull it in as a combined session log, which is what I was trained to do. Right? Didn't get that. I didn't pull that file.
Is that file available on a discovery drive for me?
by the prosecutor today.
Thank you.
All of this is very technical. It has to do with call detailing
the report that
and
I cell
site information.
Today, there's a reference to another cast biz session and some screenshots. What is that about?
I believe you're talking about just the regular 48 hours folder.
I don't know. I'm curious.
So that I provided two folders. One was cast biz and one else was my last name of Maori. That was to differentiate the files that I found that were provided to me and the folder of the files that I used to create this report.
Okay. Cast biz is the files that you found while preparing?
Correct.
And the one that says Maori is what you used to create your May 3rd report of 2023?
Yes.
Okay.
Testifying is Detective Maori from the Moscow Police Department.
I think your report said you found screenshots dated April 19th of 2023.
Yes.
All right. Does that mean that's the day that you put things into your CastViz program?
That was the day that I made the screenshots themselves.
Okay. Where are those screenshots now? Are those also included on the drive?
Yes.
Okay. And then your report dated 5-3 says that you were asked to examine the record. So I'm a little confused if you had something that you took screenshots of on 4-19, but on 5-3, you were asked to examine the record. What were you doing on 4-19 or before to get those screenshots?
So I was tasked date was May 3rd for the report. It's not the date that I asked.
Okay. What day were you asked to do?
I do not remember. I'm going to guess that it was somewhere around April 19th. That's when the screenshots were created.
Okay. Let's talk about that time frame then and what you did. Did you actually use a CastViz program at that time to create something?
Yes.
The CastViz program that you used at that time, and we're talking about springtime of 2023, we'll call it April for now, if that's fair. What training had you received by then to do this CastViz program?
The 2019 training.
Okay. With the CastViz program, what's the first thing that you did?
Once the program is open, you can drag and drop the CDR records into the program.
CDR means call detail records?
Right.
Did you do just 48-hour records or did you do full records in April of 2023?
I only did the 48-hour records.
When you put the records in, those are the call detail records, and those relate to what?
To the phone that the records were coming back to.
The number you associated with Brian Koberger.
Right.
Okay.
He's not afraid to say Brian Koberger's name.
After you put those call detail records in, do you have to do anything with cell towers?
With the AT&T, no, because the cell tower locations are in the AT&T CDR.
Okay. So you put that record in, the tower locations are already part of the call detail record that you put in?
Yes.
Is that something that you have electronic on your computer and then you open your CastViz program and just import it into the program?
Yes. AT&T provides both PDF and text documents of the file. And I use the text document to put into CastViz to have it adjusted.
And when you do that, what gets exported?
Nothing. At that point, nothing is exported or created that I know of.
Can you export the session that you're working on?
You can export the session log, yes.
Did you do that?
No.
How did you create screenshots?
By using the built-in Windows snip tool, as well as the built-in Windows game console, I believe they call it the game bar. Which is just accessed by hitting Windows G, that allows you to record your screen.
Are those the only two things you did, is screen clip and screen record?
Yes.
How many times did you use call detail records in the CASBIS program?
Probably a dozen times. I'm not entirely sure.
How could you recall that?
That was a terrible question. How many times did you use the CASBIS program in relation to Brian Koberger's call detail records?
I don't know.
More than once?
I recall doing it for the grand jury because I wasn't the main lead in the call detail records investigation.
I don't understand what that means.
I wasn't the main person looking at those call detail records.
You weren't the main person with the call detail records, but you put them in the CASBIS program anyway?
For the grand jury, I would request it.
Okay. What did you rely on in producing those, producing whatever you produced for the grand jury?
Rely on? What did I produce? As far as the AT&T records?
I want to know what you relied on to do that, to produce something for the grand jury.
I don't understand the question.
Okay. You weren't the main guy with the call detail records or with the CASBIS programming. Did I understand that much right?
There was another investigator that was doing that.
Okay. But you end up involved in
not an expert
somehow in April of 2023, is that right?
That's what I was asking.
Trained how to do it, but he's not an expert.
Okay. Was that all of your instruction?
What do you mean by that?
Well, you're asked by somebody else who's actually doing this part of the investigation in the case to produce something for the grand jury to use. And I'm curious about what you relied on, what you to get to that point. I want to know all the records you relied on, all of the emails, all of the conversations you relied on to produce this thing that you're not the expert for.
So I wrote the affidavit for the AT&T records, received the AT&T records. Those records were also given to another investigator who was the main investigator doing the CDR records. Prosecution then asked me to provide or create some type of visualization of the call detail records and examine the call detail records for the 4 hours in question.
Just to be really sure, when you talked about writing the two warrants for AT&T, we're talking about two warrants that relate to Brian Koberger. There were a lot of other warrants. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
I just want to be really clear on that. You've taken the CAST training. Is that right?
Yes.
And you know there's a way to save your session. Is that correct?
Yes.
And there's also a way just to hit reset and delete your session. Do you know that part too?
Mm-hmm.
And back in April, when you were creating something for the grand jury, you hit reset. Is that right?
Or I just deleted the files out of it. I don't remember if I had reset or deleted. You can delete them individually.
You don't remember which thing you did?
I do.
But you decided to delete what you'd create.
I don't know. I didn't delete anything. I didn't create the session logs. I don't know how I was doing it. You delete the reference of the file in the software, but the file itself is not deleted.
So this is Moscow detective.
I want to make sure I understand.
5 years detective.
The record, the AT&T record, still exists. You didn't delete that.
Correct.
But the session, when you put that in to the CASBIS program and it does its thing with the call detail records, which includes tower references, you either deleted that session or you chose to reset. Did I understand that right?
Didn't create a session log. I don't know how I would delete it. I just removed the reference to the file, the main file, from the software at some point. I don't know when I did that.
You don't know when you did that?
Okay, but you can close the software without hitting reset or delete.
And then it would just stay there.
I believe it.
And you can also export your session if you get interrupted and you want to come back and work on it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Did you do that? You left it up and running at some point and then did something that didn't save it. Is that right?
The session log was never created. Did not create a session log. The CDR records I was dealing with is relatively small. There's no need to do that because I can ingest the files right back into CASFIS in a short amount of time.
All very complicated. He just received a lot of this evidence yesterday.
Your Honor, just the FBI. For clarity, may I approach? I have another exhibit to show him.
So she's obviously trying to create doubt on the documents and the work that he did. And it's why she's asking him all of these very, very technical questions. Places, times, did you do this, did you do that? It impinges on the credibility of the witness. That's what she's also doing. He's a detective with the Moscow Police Department. His name is Mowery, M-O-W-E-R-Y. He's been a detective for about 5 years, had prior law enforcement experience at another law enforcement agency. Yes, this is very, very technical. Cell phone information, cell tower information.
Are you familiar with the document that was handed to you that's marked Defendants W?
Yes.
And have you seen that before?
I have.
Is that something that you were taught from, the CAST user's guide?
I'm sure I was. It's also included in the software that can be readily accessed by the
phone. Okay. And Your Honor, we'd move for admission of Defendants W.
Okay. Thank you. No objection. Okay, that exhibit W is admitted.
Thank you.
No objection.
In your training, were you also taught from the CAST Field User's Guide?
I believe so.
I'm about ready to switch gears on you and talk a little bit more about videos for a second, but if I can have just one moment, Your Honor.
Sure. Thank you.
They're doing all these questioning now. Okay. Because she's questioning about the discovery, why she didn't get it sooner.
During the course of your work, did you make contact with the Idaho Department of Transportation to talk about some of the cameras that cover main roads coming into and out of Moscow?
Yes.
And did you attempt to make preservation of any items? What items did you want preserved?
I was trying to see if they had saved video or still images from those files.
What did you learn?
That they do not retain those.
Did you, when you say they do not retain those, do you mean they don't retain videos or pictures or both?
Both.
Did you do a preservation for anything?
Not recall studying actually the preservation letter out.
Okay. Your Honor, if I can have another exhibit provided.
Yes.
That question, she wants to know if he retained a video from cameras that the Idaho Department of Transportation has. Could that be red light cameras, cameras at the intersections, things like that? That would show Koberger's car at certain times and places passing important evidence. Now he's simply going through some of his notes to refresh his memory. This is all very, very technical stuff. And this, of course, is all pre-trial hearing stuff. So what you say in these hearings, you are held to in the actual trial. They'll say, well, how could you change your testimony today, which could be a year later when on this date on, May 23rd, 2024, you said this. Is it true then or are you lying now? Like that's what defense attorneys love to do. So what you said on May 23rd wasn't true, even though it was less time between the event and your memory. So now you're recalling it a different way. That's a favorite tactic of defense attorneys. I'm sure she'll go to that bag of tricks also.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
For those who embrace the impossible, the Defender 110 is up for the adventure. This iconic vehicle has been redefined with a modern design that lets you go further and do more. The exterior is reimagined with compelling proportions and precise detailing, complemented by an interior built with integrity. The Defender capability is legendary. Whether you're facing off-road challenges or harsh weather conditions, its durability has been tested to the extreme. Powerful innovations like the intuitive driver display and award-winning infotainment system keep you connected. Innovative camera technologies deliver unobstructed views and effortless maneuvering. And robust cargo capacity means more room for your gear. Ready for a wide range of adventures, the Defender family features the two-door Defender 90, the Defender 110, and the Defender 130, which seats up to 8. To drive the Defender is to explore with greater confidence. Push what's possible with a vehicle made to go further. The Defender 110. Learn more at LandRoverUSA.com/Defender.
So much of this, again, so technical, but so important. This case can be built with a lot of the digital evidence, the cell tower information, the cell
phone. What do you recognize that exhibit?
So these are emails that I was trying to find some kind of contact information for Winzy.com, the website that does weather-related information, as well as has some links to images from cameras that are covering the highway.
And did you learn that you could have some still shots preserved?
I did.
Did you have some still shots preserved?
I did not.
Okay. Your Honor, would move for admission of defendants P.P.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry, P.P.?
Double P, yes.
That's what I thought. Okay. Exhibit P.P. Is exhibit or admitted. No objection.
When we started talking, we talked about you kind of being the guy that would book or take videos in from different agencies, even if you didn't verify what was on the device you received. Is that right?
Yes.
And do you, I have a specific one that a couple of them I want to ask you about. One is from Red Star Coffee Shop. Do you recall receiving that video?
I do not.
Okay. And
think of all.
Are you aware that it was booked in or brought in by Idaho State Police?
No.
How would I find out about those videos?
I don't know. You'd have to go through the USB drives to find out what was given. I was just given the mass USB drives. I was not given them individually by the people that were bringing them in for time. Given to them after it had been handed off to other investigators and other assistants that were helping the house.
Is there somebody else I should ask about specific ones to track where they went?
I don't know. I don't have that information.
Okay. All right, give me just a minute, Your Honor.
Sure.
Just imagine all the video they've collected with this case, and it's why documentation.
Thank you, Detective Mowry. I don't have the other questions for now, but hold on, the prosecutor might.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Thanks, Mr. Thompson.
Ms. Jennings.
Okay, Ms. Jennings.
Mowry, I want to go back and talk a little bit about this CASVIS program. Can you explain to me generally what is CASVIS?
It's just a software that is useful in creating visualizations of the call detail records.
Okay. So how is it useful? What does it show?
It shows the location and the direction of the cell towers and their sector antennas.
Okay. Now, what version of CASVIS do you have?
Currently, I think I have 33 on my laptop. It's prompted me to update to 38, but at the time, I believe I had 30 installed.
So walk me through. You start up the software program.
Yes.
And then what do you do?
Drag the text file from the CDRs into the system. It ingests the files and then produces a display of that data.
Okay. And is that what you did on the 19th?
Yes.
Okay. And then what did you do with that visual that was displayed?
The visuals, I created screenshots, created the screen capture of the video. CASVIS also allows a timeline playing view that you can record. Separate the Windows built-in software, and save those.
Other than uploading the CDRs, did you change any of the settings on CASVIS?
The only thing that I would have done was gone in and changed the, made sure that the time was correct because they were coming in at UTC. It was a coordinated time. I wanted to make sure that those were representative of the local time.
All right, so you just changed it to Pacific?
Correct.
Any other changes?
No.
Okay. So you were talking about how it does not automatically save.
It does not.
Okay. And you chose not to save?
No. And in the incident that was provided, the actual text says that if you need to save a session file.
Okay. And can you tell me why didn't you save these settings?
I was creating the visualization exhibits. That's what I was doing with that.
Any reason to save the settings?
No.
Could this be recreated or redone in the same fashion?
Yes, I can, again, open the software and drag the CDRs back in. And in a very short time, it is generated.
And it would give you the same information?
Yes.
Is that why you did it? David?
Yes.
Folks, the CDR is call detailing report. That's what this is all about right now.
I'm going to switch over to the other session files that you found. Were those session files created by you?
No.
Okay. And did you ever use those?
No.
And have you now turned those over, provided those?
Yes.
Okay. Now I want to switch gears over to what we were discussing as Wendy.com. What is that? What is Wendy?
It's a website that is available for leather and such.
Okay. And why is that relevant in this case?
We were directed by Infamous Cap Corporal Payne that told me that we should look into Wendy.com.
And why is that?
Just to see if they retained video from the cameras themselves.
Okay, so Wendy.com has cameras?
They have screenshots. They basically capture the ITD cameras and put them on their website. Images are routinely purged from their site for the administration of that.
Okay. And can you explain to me, when are those, you talked about them being purged from their site. What's that schedule?
From going on their website yesterday, it's a public website, so I was able to go back to it. I don't remember exactly I believe that within 24 hours, it's hourly. Within a week, it's daily. Within 12 months, it's monthly. And then after that, I believe it's sort of, I was seeing probably like 3 months or so.
Very, very technical, guys, but again, so important.
Can you explain why you didn't preserve those images from Wendy.com?
When it was discussed with other investigators, we would have only gotten, I believe it was one image per day. Time frame wasn't where we were interested in, so we didn't capture that one.
So there is no evidentiary value?
None that we did.
Okay. And have you since gone back and found some screenshots?
Yes.
It's what's available on the publicly available website.
Anyone can go to Wendy.com and grab the screenshots there.
And you've now done that?
I have.
Anything of evidentiary value?
No.
Have those been turned over anyway?
Yes.
I just have 1 second.
Sure.
I don't have any further questions.
Thank you. Do you read that?
Yes, just a bit. You were just speaking with the prosecutor about the images from Wendy.com. And I thought you didn't preserve anything or go back and look at anything during your investigation. Did I misunderstand that?
So yesterday when I was directed by the prosecutor.
Okay, so yesterday the prosecutor said, go look for these things.
Yes.
But before that, you and other investigators decided not to. Did I get that right?
The information that we were given, we were told that there would be a screenshot for the day, but right, the parameters of we did not grab those because they were not in the, didn't see that they would be developed.
Okay. But you didn't look back then. You waited until yesterday. Is that right?
No, we looked back then. I couldn't tell you what time. Most of the photos that were taken for the daily screenshot or the daily screenshots were daytime. They looked the days kind of thing. So we didn't grab those at the time.
Okay, but you did look at the time and made a decision at the time. Do I understand that now?
Yes.
Okay. Back to the cast viz for a couple of questions for you. When you were doing the work back in April of 2023, did you see maps on the screen with the work that you were doing?
Yes.
And you also made a video of that. I want to show you a map and see if it's what I think it is. You have defendants R in front of you. What is that?
There's to be a screen capture of the cast is something.
Is that a screen capture from a map that you made?
Yes.
All right. Your Honor, would move for admission of defendants R.
Objection.
No.
Exhibit R is admitted. No objection.
And are you aware that when you can see mapping on your screen on this program that there's a log created? You would agree that if I were to take the call detail records that have the tower report in them, I would have to have the same cast version you were using to recreate what you did. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd have to have the, if I took the regular cell call detail records and put them into a different version of cast, are you saying that it would become different?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. Let me try to be more clear about the one I was asking, and then I like yours. We might talk about your question as well. My question is, and the prosecutor suggested that your work be recreated, and so it didn't matter that you hadn't saved your session. What I want to know is, if I have the 48-hour call detail records that contain the tower list like you have, do I have to have the cast viz program that you used so I can see what you did?
I don't know, because I don't know what the back end of the cast viz software does. I'm just thinking. So I don't know.
And you were in this CASFIS program, at least for a while, creating exhibits that would be relied on. Is that right?
Yes.
On more than one occasion. Is that right?
Yes.
But you didn't save your work.
You did not create a session log. I didn't see the need.
Would you agree I can't see what you did without your session log? Can't examine what you did without your session log?
Is there to create the visualizations for the exhibits? That's what I use CASFIS.
But I can't see what you did. Is that right?
In essence, she's saying he destroyed her discovery. No. She should get copies of that to show his work.
No, it's not right, or no, I can't see what you did.
You cannot, but I could take those cell data, recall the articles, put them into CASFIS again. The results would be what they are, because we're still using the same records from AT&T to create.
Have you done that?
These records?
Yes.
No.
Thanks, that's it.
Thank you. Anything on that, Ms. Jennings?
This is the prosecution.
Diego, why did you pull the CDRs into CASFIS?
Why did I do that in April? Because I was asked by you to do it for the tender.
Okay. Is that the only reason you did it?
Yes.
Is that the only time you did it?
Yes.
Okay.
I remember. I mean.
Oh, thank you, Brendan.
Yeah. Follow up on that question?
Nope. Thank you.
Okay. Great. Can this witness be excused?
Yes, please.
Any objection? Okay, great. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yes.
That was the testimony of Detective Mowry from the Moscow Police Department. A lot to do with call
detailing. All right, you are excused. Very technical. You can say if you like. Okay. Next witness.
Your Honor, the rest of the witnesses will be present and ready to go on the 30th, to the very best of my knowledge. This was the only witness we needed to accommodate with today's hearing. So thank you for that.
Okay, thank you. So we're done for today?
We're done for today, Your Honor.
Wow. Okay. Ms. Jennings, agreed?
Agreed.
Okay. Yes, what are you? Hold on. Ah, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Beth. So I have a whole bunch of documents that it's not clear whether I should sign the sealing or not, because there's no stipulation and there's no hearing, but we're all here together. So can we just go through this and clear it up? Yes?
Sure.
Okay. So the first one I have is motion to temporarily seal supplemental response to defendant's fourth and response to fifth motions to compel and motion to limit scope of testimony. And I have not signed that because there was no stipulation or agreed.
Your Honor, I apologize. I thought we had agreed those have the detailed exhibits attached to them, and I thought we'd stipulated that those detailed exhibits could be sealed.
Okay. Well, the addition on that was limited scope of testimony, so I wasn't sure if that was included in our earlier agreement.
Your Honor, that's the state's motion. And I know we responded to that, and we did not seal our response to that.
Okay. State is asking for sealing on that. Are we on the same page? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. Just want to know if I should sign this or not.
Well, I'm just not sure. Is there an objection? It's the state's motion to seal. Is there an objection from defense to seal?
No, if they want their documents sealed, that's fine. We have responded publicly, and so I wondered if that changed.
Okay, so I'll sign this. That's one. I just don't want to get in trouble with your arguments about sealing and not sealing. Okay, I just want to be very clear on the record.
Thank you for that.
You can imagine how long this trial is going to take, just how long little issues take to discuss.
Plus, it's piling up with the clerk. Okay, next one is also the state's. This is the one that's sealed. Got that taken care of. Got another one from the state, a motion to temporarily seal exhibits one of state's second supplemental response, etc. Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. These titles are getting long, I have to say. Finally. Clear. Make that exhibit one. Okay.
This is Judge John Judge. What an appropriate name, huh?
I think that's it. Anything else we need to talk about before we're done?
Nothing from us.
Okay. Well, thank you all. You're adjourned. Appreciate it.
So that was the hearing for today, guys. It wasn't all that exciting. You get an idea of what the defense is looking at and how they try to trip up a detective. He was talking about the software CastBiz, and it's a visual call detailing records, but it's pretty amazing because it can build a map from the call detailing records of both the calls and the locations the calls were made from and draw the map. I mean, just think of how useful that is. So if Brian Koberger was on his phone at a certain time, it'll show where he was as he was traveling along in his car. So this whole scope of this hearing today, again, is discovery. And I've defined discovery many times. Discovery is evidence that the prosecution has to turn over to the defense so they're on a level playing field. Or else when the prosecution presented their case, the defense would have no idea how to argue against the prosecution's case. And in the same vein, the defense has to turn over discovery also to the prosecution. That's why when they were talking about Brian Koberger possibly coming up with an alibi to where he was at the time the students were murdered on November 13th, the early mornings of November 13th, anywhere between 04:15, 04:20, and 04:35 in the morning, he's trying to come up with an alibi as to where he was. It doesn't seem like the defense has really presented, you know, with an alibi. Shouldn't there be an alibi witness or some kind of documentation vis-a-vis cell site information, cameras, toll booth records, any of those possible things. But the defense just sort of presented an alibi, but didn't really present much evidence of an alibi. So these hearings are going to go on for a long time because I don't think that the trial is anywhere close to being to getting started. And we speak about the victims and the families of the victims, the university. And just to put this in perspective, this happened November 13th, 2022. So this November will be 2 years since this occurred. It seems unbelievable that it's that long ago. And we're no closer to going to trial. And do not forget, this is a death penalty case. So in this case, they must choose a death penalty jury. And what does that mean? Well, what that means is when they do what's called the voir dire, and I hope I pronounced that right because I have no background in French whatsoever, each side gets challenges against potential jurors. But one of the first challenges in this case will be, what are your feelings on capital punishment? And if the person chosen or is being considered to be a juror says, I'm against capital punishment, then they're definitely disqualified right there. So you have to choose both the defense and prosecution jurors that are pro death penalty. Because without that right out of the box, they can't go forward. Because if the prosecution has indicated a desire to go for the death penalty in this case, so therefore jurors all have to be pro death penalty. So they would exclude anyone who's not pro death penalty in this case. So today, just a quick recap. One witness, his name was Detective Mowery. I believe it's spelled M-O-W-E-R-Y. It was spelled incorrectly on the screen. He's from the Moscow Police Department. He has 5 years on the job. He's a detective. Apparently, he worked for another law enforcement agency prior to working for Moscow Police. He is not an expert on cell phones, electronic devices, digital devices. He is not an expert. He's been trained. I believe I heard 16 hours or double that, 32 hours on training that he had. So that does not make you a cell phone or a digital expert, but he's proficient enough to understand the technology so that he can do his job, make reports, do his reports, and understand what was going on. And we kept hearing the CDRs. The CDRs were called detailing reports. And as I said, this software called CastBiz takes the CDRs and actually will draw maps according to the CDRs, the called detailing report. And how useful is that in an investigation like this? Tremendously, tremendously useful. The other thing was, like, as far as the discovery, some of these reports, this Detective Mowery just received them yesterday from the FBI. So how was he supposed to be proficient and knowing everything he had written in a report or that the FBI had written when he only received it yesterday? So these are things that, you know, it's the reality of life and the reality of law enforcement or any other business. But the defense attorney's job is to make it look like, oh, he's incompetent. He had all of his time. And the reality was he only received this evidence yesterday. And the defense attorney really didn't want to hear that because she really can't poke too many holes in it. When a human being just receives some evidence the day before, they're not going to have it memorized into their brain. They'll have a working knowledge of it. And just keep in mind that during all this questioning, this is May 23rd, 2024, this same detective, Detective Mowery, is going to be put on the stand maybe a year, year and a half from now. And she'll use his testimony today against him if he doesn't recall correctly what he said. So just keep all of those things in mind. K-Me from the chat, he's toast anyway. She knows it, but let's collect that check. Or you're talking about Brian Koberger. Many people feel that I'm not one of them, that Brian Koberger is innocent. There's a whole crowd of people. Emily Suzanne, people sure fall for it. Absolutely. Mel Stiller, I made note of your email address, Kim Ellis. Well, okay. Matthew Ellis, I already subscribed and will ring the bell. Thank you, Kim Allison. Guy, Kim, thank you so much for being such a great moderator, reminding people. Folks, this is Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. If you like real crime, true crime from a police perspective, you're in the right place. If you're not subscribed, go on our YouTube, hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, hit that like button, share us with your friends and your family, and show the love. And if you want to contribute to us financially, we have a Patreon with four different levels. And we also have a YouTube channel membership with count and five different levels. And we are growing. The Police Off the Cuff family is growing. And I appreciate you guys so much to make this channel grow. And hopefully we support each other and we make this a great experience. That's all I have for you today, guys. I wanted to catch this live. It wasn't the most exciting show we've ever watched here. But it's good to have the information because now we'll know for the next time what's going on. So everyone, have a great night. This is Bill Cannon from Police Off the Cuff Real Crime Stories. And God bless everyone. One episode, just ain't enough. Get a laughter, get an interview too. We made it a best thing. Collider says BritBox has TV everyone should be watching. Stream acclaimed series with powerful performances from Jodie Whittaker, Tamara Lawrence, Bella Ramsey, and Sophie Rundle. Discover new BritBox original series like Agatha Christie's Murder is Easy, BAFTA-winning drama Time, and new crime thriller After the Flood from the producers of Happy Valley. Stream what the New York Times calls the best of British telly. Only on BritBox. Start a free trial at BritBox.com.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.